2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Is the MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us, make sure you do so. Go to the website, use the promo code podcast, and then decide if you want to sign up for us for the month, which is always not a bad idea to try out. And then, of course, we got the yearly package as well. Whichever one you decide to go with, it's a fantastic option. But, of course, make sure you use that promo code podcast to get yourself a little bit of savings when doing so. All right, so I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall joining me as always at Boomers DFS Daddy. So we have heard the people. We actually are going to switch up the format of the podcast from here on out. Now, for those of you that enjoyed the game-by-game breakdown, of course, you'll be able to find pretty much a version of that on DFSArmy.com. And Walsh's way, of course, I'm going to always be breaking down the game-by-game slate with certain notes that you'll find out there. But from here on now, we're going to try to shorten this baby up. We have heard the people. And we're going to go at this thing position by position. So you'll still get a lot of the same great info, but we're basically trimming a lot of the fat on this thing and getting right down to the damn point.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we've always said is, you know, when we first started this, it was a live show. That was a two-hour show that we were doing a couple nights a week or a couple days a week before lock. And then we started doing the audio podcast, and it got to, we were doing 2 hours and stuff like this. And, where I feel like, I love talking DFS, and I love talking to our members, but some of them felt like we were giving away too much information. Some of them felt like the podcasts were too long and that they couldn't really enjoy it. So, we're not abrupt to change. We like doing what we're doing, and we want to keep doing it, obviously. And we'll keep doing it, no matter if there's one of you guys listening or 50 of you guys listening. Obviously, we have more than 50 of you guys listening, but it's going to be – we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to get to the nitty-gritty and have some fun. And it's going to be very, very, very interesting to see exactly how we kind of work this out. It's especially on Tuesdays when we have Chop on here, because right, we're going to have really, really different views. But what we're going to do is we're going to add a little strategy session at the beginning of these instead of our normal – our rants won't be as long. I know everybody enjoys our rants.
This is the rant, explaining that the rants won't be as long.
Exactly, but they won't be as long or as drawn out most of the time. And then we're going to get into a little bit of strategy or strategy sessions and stuff like that. Keep the training and the working of DFS very, very, very basic, especially MLB DFS, which is something that is, you can have one strategy one day and another the other day, and both of them could work out, and they can be two different strategies, or neither one of them can work out, and we have to stress, trust the process, which is something that we really do stress a lot, is trust your process. It's not going to hit every day. We talk a lot about, just proper bankroll management and sustaining, because literally one or two hot streaks throughout the season can pay for your full entire season.
Yes, yes, indeed. It certainly can. All right, so I know that we wanted to dig into a little bit of strategy here. So I guess, real quick, let's touch on that at the beginning. What do you feel is the most important for the folks today?
Well, on a slate like today, where you've got a lot of not very good high-end pitching options. I mean, on DraftKings, you've got Jacob deGrom at 10-8, and you've got Carlos Martinez at 9-8. There's going to be some value bats that pop up, especially probably in that Colorado Chicago game, because of the Chicago situation that happened last night. If none of you know, I wasn't even aware because I went to bed pretty early. It went 18 innings. That's basically two full ball games. Then we all know about going traveling into Denver. So you add that, you basically are traveling into Denver and then getting in to and then you're getting into Denver from the 45-minute flight to DIA, and now you're having to really kind of go at it and play a game in altitude. It's going to be an interesting situation. So, it's one that I don't always imply, but when you're talking about the $50,000 or the 35K, whatever it is, salary that you have on DraftKings, it's not always optimal to spend all of your salary. Don't baseball is the highest variant sport because of everything that it does. You can spend $5,000 for, a Coors Field bat and it go 0 for 4 and everybody else blow up around it, But if you really, really do take time to analyze the matchups, which is something that our DFSA grades really do a great job of breaking down, then you can really narrow down the value. And a lot of these lower owned players, you're going to get, or a lot of these lower priced players today, you're going to get at a lower ownership because of the lack of high quality pitching options. Pitching is going to be all over the map today. So, guys that are like, 3,100 that are leading off are going to be lower owned because people don't need to go down that far today. So that's my opinion. I think that salary is one of the last things I really look at in MLB DFS. It just gives me a cap of what I can spend. I don't have a minimum salary that I have to spend in MLB DFS. So, that's one of the big things for me is I try to make sure that I'm not as salary conscious or cautious or yeah. Conscious, is that the word?
Conscious, yes.
Okay. So if I
Aware of your
spend,
surroundings.
I'm not going to spend 30,000, I'm not going to leave 20K on the table, but I'm not going to be so worried that I only leave a minimum of like, 1200 on the table either. So
Sure.
especially on a, a shorter slate like today, I say a short slate, there's 10 games on the slate, but,
It is. It's sort. It's like a. It's like a. It's like the slate sort of missing a hand, if you will.
exactly. And it is. So,
If somebody had three hands, right?
so
Is each
that's,
game a finger?
yeah, exactly. That's one of the things that I do. You've got, say Kevin Pillar on DK. He's in a really good spot today. And a lot of the Blue Jays are, he's 3,200 on DK. Well, he's 3,200 on FanDuel, but he's a better value because of a
Right.
higher salary cap on DK. And if he's, the guy that I want in one of my outfield spots, I'm not going to be afraid to play him because of the fact that, I'm going to end up leaving more on the table because of that. It's just, I don't worry about, having a minimum salary that I have to spend. And I speak a lot of this based on tournaments, because it allows me to be different. It allows me to get off the herd. And it allows me to really, really get creative with my roster construction. Now it hurts sometimes and sometimes it works out. So, you got, it's all slate analyzing, based on, what kind of, tournament or contest you're playing in that day and, what's on the slate, what's available. And that's a big thing. So.
All right. So yes, I will say, you know, you did mention the fact that with the Cubs coming late into Denver last night, I'm a little disappointed in our subscribers because we had this situation not too long ago where I believe it was 2 weeks ago where the Nationals were playing at Citi Field on the Sunday night game, and then they had to go, you know, across the country, fly into Denver. Everybody picked up on that right away. Well, I don't know. Maybe people didn't stay up late enough to know that the Yankees and the Cubs played 18 innings last night in Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge deal for these Cubbies, you know, just being ridiculously tired. I mean, that game, you know, we were talking about it before we hit the record button. That game probably ended around 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. So, you know, you figure they probably didn't get in the air until, you know, close to 3 a.m., and that, you know, getting in late and all that stuff, these Cubs bats are certainly going to be tired.
I can promise you this, the Cubs are still sleeping right now. Well, maybe Joe Maddon isn't, but, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant are still huddled up in their twin bed together, so.
Oh, wow, he went there. He went there. It is a rivalry day for you as they go up against your Rockies. But, all right, so. We will get into some of those bats and more, but let's start it out with tonight's pitching. Now, you said, you know, you feel the whole slate, people are going to be all over the map and where they go. For me, I got Jacob DeGrom pegged as the top guy here. He's going up against the San Francisco Giants team that cannot seem to get out of their own way. I believe over the weekend they were outscored by the Reds, if I'm not mistaken, 31-5. These guys just cannot hit the ball right now. He's going up against Matt Moore, and I know that we really don't, you know, we're trying not to pay too much attention in terms of what pitcher we pick in the sense of trying to go after that win, you know, more so especially than last year. But you got to love these numbers for DeGrom here going up against these Giants. You know, certainly the Mets have a lot of revenge up against the Giants here who knocked them out of the playoffs last season. DeGrom does have 40 strikeouts over his last 24 and two-thirds of an innings. You know, again, Giants, they're 105 runs this season. They're his second worst in the majors. So that's my top guy. Is that who you're going to be going with as your number one ace tonight?
I actually really, really, really like Carlos Martinez.
Okay.
I don't know why. I know he's kind of all over the map and looking at this in a tournament perspective. There's not like it's bad because like you start looking at the guys that are in good spots. And they're facing teams that don't strike out a lot. You know, Jake Arrieta, even though he's got a huge high soft contact rate, the Rockies only strike out 21% of the time against right-handed pitching. And we add to the fact that, you know, normally starting or teams send their starting pitchers out before getaway day. He pinch hit last night. So we know that he wasn't in Denver yesterday, unless he, you know, flew back into Chicago and then flew back to Denver. But he
took his at bat and then just said, all right, guys, I'll see
I'm
you
out.
Later.
Peace out. You know, but you talk about DeGrom, the Giants are only striking out 20% of the time. Trevor Cahill going against the Rangers, he's got the highest strikeout rate in the top five, according to DFSA grades. And these DFSA grades, you know, the top six are all within basically 5 points of each other. So it's really a toss-up at the top end of the spectrum. I really do like Carlos Martinez because he's going to get up against the Marlins. They're kind of beat up. We were talking about that before the show. That's probably who I will roll out a lot of. I'm guessing Masahiro Tanaka was probably in Cincinnati yesterday just because Joe Girardi's not going to pinch hit a pitcher. He doesn't have a guy like a Bumgarner or a Jake Arrieta or anything like that. Plus, he's not from the Joe Maddon School of Managing where he can, you know, basically pinch hit his pitchers because he has pitchers to hit. Alex Wood is interesting going up against the Pirates. They typically haven't hit left-handed pitching that well. But a lot of the guys at the lower end, guys like I've got some interest in Antonio Sensatella just because of the Cubs situation. The weather kind of gets me off of that. You know, I'm off of Matt Moore. I rode down that train last time. But Gio Gonzalez, this is a team that we've been targeting left-handed bats against in the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, they have one of the lowest ISOs versus left-handed pitching, one of the lowest WOBAs, and one of the highest strikeout rates versus left-handed pitching. Now, the reason why he doesn't grade out well is because of his statistics, not against the opponent's statistics. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. And like we said, it's a little bit all over the map tonight. I've heard some love for Trevor Bauer going against the Blue Jays. If I'm not mistaken, the Blue Jays are getting healthy. And this is a team I'm probably not going to be picking on.
I gotta throw my two cents in there. I'm not on Trevor Bauer because of Trevor Bauer. So.
Well, he does have strikeout upside. Let's not forget that. Yeah. He does have strikeout upside. But he also has the ability to go out and get you a negative six, too.
That is correct.
So this is not – I mean, come on, look. Right now I've got the projected starting lineup. It's got Tulo and Donaldson back. You know, Bautista's been hitting the ball better lately. He's risen his DFSA grade a little bit. You know, it's very, very difficult, and this game is basically a pick 'em. You know, Kendrys Morales has been hitting the ball well. Kevin Pillar looks like he's basically solidified his spot as the leadoff man.
Yeah, he's been swinging well for a while now.
So this is not a team that I'm willing to just blindly keep picking on right now. In fact, if Trevor Bauer decides to be chalk tonight, if that's how the cards are starting to play, because everybody's going to blindly do that, then I don't want to say blindly, but I will blindly stack the Blue Jays, you know, in some tournaments. So,
all right. Yeah, a couple guys that, you know, you didn't mention that I will be on too. Your boy Trevor Cahill, he's been money at home this season. If we take a look at the numbers, he's only had two starts there, but he's only allowed one earned run. He has taken on a Texas team that does have some pop in a name perspective, but, you know, overall, I'm not impressed too much with what they've been doing lately. You know, Cahill does have, 13 strikeouts and 13 innings at home here. Rangers do have the fifth highest strikeout rate on this, well, of all teams here, and then the eighth highest against right-handed pitching to start the season. So we do have that. Carlos Martinez was a guy that I like. I know Blake Snell, he's an interesting one. He hasn't had that quality start yet, but look, he is going up against a Kansas City Royals team that is just struggling in every sense of the word. They are dead last in runs scored, batting average, on-base percentage, doubles. I mean, we could go down the list of the categories that these guys are dead last in the majors. And, you know, look, Snell's had the strikeout upside. He had a season-high 9 strikeouts last time out. His big thing is the walk. So maybe if some of these undisciplined Royals hitters just swing at a couple balls outside the zone, maybe some you know, of Snell's luck goes the other way. But, again, you know, we talk about the Royals. You know, most of their better bats, quote-unquote, are, you know, left-handed hitters. So Snell would have the platoon advantage against them there. There is that. I mean, again, the walks with Snell scare me to death, but, you know, his opponent sucks. So that kind of gives me a little bit of comfort.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was on the Snell bandwagon. I can't remember who it was against, but I was there, and it didn't work out very well. I don't know. Pitching is going to be all over the map today, and it's very, very easy to see why. You know, if I got a Twitter message that Carlos Martinez has cut his hair extensions off, then I would probably be all in. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things that I'm really, really, really kind of not too sure on how I'm going to go yet. Going to have to really look into it, because there seems like some obvious places where there's going to be some good spots, but it's no guarantee. I mean, the big swing isn't going to be the pitchers. It's going to be the weather, especially on FanDuel, because you've got, okay, FanDuel is forgotten. exactly. Like, I just don't – I don't know if they know how to really, really, really price guys. And the reason I say that is like, they price guys against these aces. They price them down. Well, then they price guys up for Coors Field. Well, it's like their algorithm forgot that an ace is pitching in Coors Field, and even though that ace is pitching in Coors Field, it's still Coors Field. Guys like Charlie Blackmon, Ian Desmond, Charlie Blackmon's 4,300. He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 4,300.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's going up against Jake Arrieta, who's been shit this year, except for one start. So, I'm...
Shit's a strong word, but he hasn't been his
He's been self. Shit.
He's still getting the fantasy points. Still getting them.
He's got a 4.3 ERA. He has not been
that.
Jake.
I get that.
Okay,
that.
Let's put it this way. He's been good if he's just a regular pitcher, but he's Jake Arrieta. So,
right.
In terms of Jake Arrieta, he's been shit.
Well, here's my mind. My mind is programmed to just judge people by fantasy points, right? So the sense, oh, well, you know, the guy went 4 for 5 yesterday. Yeah, but he only had 4 singles, so he really didn't do much. You know, that kind of – but Arrieta, I mean, he's still – I had the stat here in my game notes. I believe he's got 4 starts where he's had at least, you know, 37 FanDuel points. The other two, you're absolutely right. He's been absolutely shit, but – yeah, but I mean, from an actual statistic perspective, yes, this is not the Jake Arrieta that we grew up with. This is certainly a different fella here. But yeah, I mean, look, and we saw a couple of good pitching performances at Coors Field over the weekend. Don't forget.
No, we saw one.
Mm.
We saw one. Well, I mean, Tyler Chatwood pitched pretty well yesterday. You know, he threw 7 innings. I think allowed 1 run or 2 run. Or no, he didn't run it. Well. Yeah, Greinke threw well. And it was funny because, like we've talked about it. Normally, we absolutely just kill Zach Greinke. Well, he made it. His approach changed. Like the way he threw. I have to go back and look, but from what I was seeing, it was he threw like almost 70% sliders on. Friday night, and that was really, really kind of odd because of the fact that that's normally what we absolutely just kill is sliders, and we normally kill Zach Greinke, but when you're talking about throwing 70% of them, you're talking about really, really, really getting into that point to where it's the slider. If you don't know, the slider is the second most effective pitch at Coors Field, other than the four-seam fastball. And when you're talking about throwing that to righties, where it breaks out of the strike zone, then you're really talking about getting a lot of soft contact and a lot of swing and misses. And that was really, really the key on what Zach Greinke did. Tyler Anderson looked like the Tyler Anderson from last year, which was fantastic. I mean, there was one good pitcher in each of the games. It was just, you know, it wasn't the ones that you were thinking it was going to. Now, I didn't expect Herman Marquez. He actually bounced back on Saturday or Friday, but I didn't expect him to, you know, really do well. And as we saw on Friday, playing Coors Field is actually contrarian right now. Like, everybody's so enamored with fade Coors. And I'm sitting here going, okay, you guys can fade them. I'm going to stack them because I'm getting them at under 10%.
Which is fine, but I think, you know, we're seeing this a lot, too, with some of these smaller ballparks where Atlanta's in play now. Of course, we got Cincinnati on today's slate where you can get guys that are in just as good of spots. And there's been a couple games. I mean, when the Nationals came to Colorado, I think we saw you know, what Coors Field can really be for, you know, some of these newer MLB DFS players. But I mean, there have been just as many good spots in other ballparks this year. So
yeah, and I'm not saying
let's not make it the Magical Kingdom.
I'm not saying it is, but no other ballpark has the ability to blow up like Coors Field. Humidor or not? Humidor or not? Not with the consistency that Coors Field can.
All right.
Not with the consistency. I've been watching Coors Field for 25 years.
I'm aware of that.
And I have never seen a ballpark that can consistently, and we've talked about it, it's not just the home runs, it's the doubles. It's the bloop hits because the outfielders have to play so deep that a lot of these Texas leaguers actually get in there. It's a lot of these things that end up happening. And I have never seen a ballpark that can consistently put out the output, the offensive output that Coors Field can. Now, is it going to happen every single time? No, absolutely not. But it's one of those things like, you know, it really, what Coors Field does makes or breaks a slate.
Okay. All right. Well, Keith stops daydreaming about Coors Field. Let's talk about.
Hey, I haven't been there in 2 years, so I'm really looking forward to going back there sometime.
I'm actually going to be in Philly in 2.5 weeks. The Saturday of Memorial Day, I'm going for a game against the Reds, so that'll be fun. While we're talking about home ballparks, but all right, let's talk about some catchers tonight. I don't see too many good options, but I do find one that is quite reasonably priced, and he goes by the name of Gary Sanchez. Now, I believe 3,200 there on FanDuel, not sure over there on the dark side at DraftKings, but he'll be facing rookie Davis tonight.
4,800.
What do you got there?
48. The Yankees are really priced up today on DraftKings.
Okay. So with Sanchez, you know, quite reasonably priced there on FanDuel. Now going against rookie Davis, yes, the Yankees did play 18 innings last night, but keep in mind Sanchez did not start. He did have 3 plate appearances. He saw 15 pitches last night, had a hit, did get 2 walks in the process.
Did he catch?
I believe for a little bit, but he didn't start at catcher, so I think he did go in for a couple innings. So you got to keep that in mind. But again, if he's in the starting lineup tonight, you know, at Great American Ballpark against rookie Davis, this is a fantastic spot for him.
Yeah, I agree. I really do agree. And 4,800, that's, I don't know a lot of people that are going to go there. Or actually, maybe a lot of people are going to go there. Maybe that's the chalk.
FanDuel, like last season, you know, where you had all these anti-Sanchez days with the ownership. I feel like this is going to be one of them, but it's also such a damn good spot for the guy.
Well, yeah, I think he's a little bit underpriced on FanDuel. And people have been salivating to kind of stack the Rockies, or sorry, not the Rockies, the Yankees, you know, a little bit. And they're not priced up on FanDuel because they don't price up guys at you know, any other spot other than Coors. So I think this is a good spot where you can, especially in cash games. There's a couple others I do like, but we'll get to those here in a little bit.
Yes. Let us. We've got some narrative here on the slate, too. Matt Wieters returning home to Baltimore.
That was one of them.
Kevin Gausman and the Orioles there. So I think that's an interesting spot as well. I mean, you know, Sanchez is only a couple $100 cheaper on FanDuel, so I don't see really the need to go to Wieters there. But on some of your other sites, maybe like a fantasy draft where you need a cheaper utility bat or something like that, he could work. The other guy I liked was Stephen Vogt against Ricky Nolasco. Not exactly in the greatest, having the greatest go of it lately. But again, he's just incredibly cheap there on FanDuel. He is, what, 2,300? He's got a decent history against Ricky Nolasco, 4-12 with the homer. So got that.
Yeah. My top three, I really do like Yasmani Grandal against Trevor Williams and Chavez Ravine. You know, he's got a 515 OB ISO, 21.27 DFSA grade. Like you mentioned, Matt Wieters, Gary Sanchez. We'll try to get – I'm not going to hit on those because you already have. Sure. You know, The other one I really, really like is Austin Hedges versus Nick Martinez. 267 ISO versus right-handed pitching this year. You know, his WOBA is not high, but he's absolutely just crushing the ball when he does make contact. And the other one is who's going to be the backup? Who's the backup catcher for the Cubs?
Let's see. I believe Contreras started last night. So Miguel Montero.
There, that's the guy. He always
kills. Who even pitched over the weekend?
Did he?
Yeah, I believe it was Saturday night. Yeah.
I did not see that. I had to get away from a lot of things DFSA related or DFS related.
Happens to the best of us.
I just
probably happen to you folks out there at some point too.
Yeah, and I suggest it. You know, take some days off, recharge the batteries a little bit. You know, I can't unfortunately take a lot of time off, but you know, other than updating the back end of the sheets, I did take some time off, and that's something that I do a lot in baseball is I take weekends off. But you know, I Montero normally just kills the Rockies. He has ever since he's, you know, been with the Diamondbacks. So that's another one of the guys I like. He should be, you know, pretty low owned. And I'm going to stick him in here, see what his Miguel Montero. He is 3,800 on FanDuel, 4,200 on DK. So he's not cheap. But to give you an idea, versus right-handed pitching, his DFSA grade is a 41.44, 270 ISO, 410 WOBA, 645 OBI, so with a 152 WRC plus. That is sexy, my friends.
Indeed.
And he would be the top-ranked catcher on the board tonight in the best hitting environment, and probably will be low-owned because of the projected weather. So.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about our boys down at first base. We got plenty.
Who's on first?
We got plenty of them tonight, but I'm going to just kick it off, and I don't know how affordable he is going to be to a lot of people, but if you're going to go down to the bottom of the barrel at pitching tonight, Ryan Zimmerman at Baltimore. This is a common theme tonight for Nationals against Kevin Gausman. But Ryan Zimmerman, he's got 10 homers over his last 16 games. Nationals probably going to have Bryce Harper back in the lineup. He missed the weekend with an ailment, so he should be back in tonight. I like Zimmerman a lot more when Harper's in that lineup. You know, when teams try to pitch around him, that usually puts more guys on base for Zimmerman. And, of course, you know, on the back end of that, you're going to have Daniel Murphy hitting behind Ryan Zimmerman as well. So you stick Zimmerman in there with these two great lefties. Gausman actually has reverse splits. Right-handers have actually done a lot better, against Gausman here this season and over the last three as well. So if you can afford him, Ryan Zimmerman is in a fantastic spot tonight against the Orioles.
I agree. I really do agree.
What else you got there at first base?
Yonder Alonso versus Ricky Nolasco. He had another home run yesterday, 310 ISO, 195 WRC plus. Nobody plays him. I really do like Yonder Alonso tonight.
All right. For me, of course, we got more narrative there with Edwin Encarnacion coming back to Toronto. He's actually had three straight games where he's had hits. I can't believe that was actually possible.
For who?
Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. He's going back to Toronto tonight.
Yes. Let's see here. If you want to get real cheap, I think Chris Carter actually is an interesting option for the Yankees tonight at Cincinnati. Got to make sure that he's in the lineup. Remember, the Yankees, second straight series, they're going to be losing their DH. So, you know, we just have to see what happens with the lineup there. And it could even be a Logan Morrison kind of night. I've got some interest there. Kendrys Morales as well. But for me,
everybody that played Kendrys Morales on Friday night, you guys are welcome.
You're welcome. You are so welcome. I'm going to do everything in my power to get Ryan Zimmerman into my lineup. But if not, I think Chris Carter, Kendrys Morales are still very good dollar per point plays there.
Yeah, I don't even mind Matt Holliday. If he's where he's first base eligible, he'll probably play first base. We saw that, was it yesterday? you know, or we saw it a lot over the weekend.
Yep.
But probably the hottest first baseman in baseball right now is none other than Mark Reynolds.
Ooh.
He's got over a .320 batting average with, you know, he had, what, two more home runs over the weekend. 470 WOBA, 377 ISO, 775 OB ISO with a 174 WRC plus against right-handed pitching this year. I know it's Jake Arrieta, but Jake Arrieta has relied a ton on his sinker this year, which is the most ineffective pitch in baseball at Coors Field. So,
interesting. Good breakdown there. I like it. All right, let's get to some of these guys at second base. We were talking about this before the podcast got the record button hit on it, but probably going to see Martin Prado from the Marlins go on to the DL, as well as Miguel Rojas. So that should open up some time for Derek Dietrich. He is minimum price on FanDuel today. Not sure about over there on DraftKings. But, again, if he's batting in the two-hole at a minimum price, yeah, he'll be chalk. But still, it's going to be able to afford you a lot of different things. It's like around the rest of your roster.
Yep, sure will. He's just – oh, my gosh. The fact that he's min price, is that's criminal. I mean, you could legitimately almost go all in against him or with him,
right,
and not have to worry about it. I mean, you've got guys like Daniel Murphy, and, you know, you've got a lot of second basemen in really good spots today. But, I mean, the only other guy that would be even worth a look at that low, like that deeply low, would probably, in my opinion, be Jed Lowry.
Yep.
Hitting at the top of that order.
Who also made Walsh's wingman today.
There you go. So, you know, that would be something that I think would be, you know, pretty nice. I said pretty like five times there. So,
well, it's got to be that nice then.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the positions that you can really save at. You know, TJ Rivera's been a good value over the last couple days. It's very, very odd to see a lot of Mets kind of popping off the page today, but they're there against Matt Moore, so.
I'm glad you mentioned TJ Rivera. Is he gonna be second base eligible on DraftKings, I guess, because he's a third baseman on FanDuel.
Let's see here, because that's a good question. I did not even think about that. Damn it!
But no, it's okay. I mean,
no, it's not that. I was trying to get in the. I had some content. I was trying to max out the Survivor on DraftKings, and I only got two entries in.
Gotcha.
That's why I said, damn it. Let's see here. TJ Rivera is not second base eligible. He is third base and first base eligible.
Ooh, interesting.
So
interesting.
That sucks.
All right. Well, we'll get to him again at some point. But
yeah, but I'm not playing him at third base with Wilmer Flores.
Yeah, and Flores is a little cheaper. But again, we'll get there. Yeah, so for second base, I think if you want to pop up, you know, we talked about Dietrich and Lowry, who are both going to be extremely cheap there at second base, but these guys will probably be a lot lower owned too. Ryan Schimpf, Rougned Odor, both in the same game there in San Diego. Of course, Schimpf is homer or bust, but Odor can do a little more for you.
Yeah, he can. I would only play, like, I'm not playing Giants as one-offs. I'm playing him as a stack against Cahill, who I think is going to be pretty chalky tonight. But
Rangers against Cahill. Said yeah. Giants. It's all right.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm playing Rangers against Cahill in a stack because I think Cahill's going to be pretty chalky. But okay. Other than that, I'm not playing him as one-offs. I mean, Starlin Castro is in a good spot.
I believe
second base.
I was gonna say
tough.
With Castro. Let's see here. Yeah, he played the entire game last night. 0 for 8. That's an average killer.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially since he was absolutely just, but he, I mean, he's still got a 415 WOBA versus right-handed pitching right now.
I was going to say, he's still hitting 355 even with that. That's the same.
How great.
Gregorius also went 0 for 8 last night.
How great is it to go 0 for 8 and you're still hitting 355, you know?
It's the dream. The dream.
It's the 20th of the season, so.
All right. Any other second baseman? We good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, let's talk about those third basemen. I guess we'll start off there with the two guys from the Mets that we were just talking about. Wilmer Flores on FanDuel is 2,300. See, this is why I think TJ Rivera is even a little more sneaky, is because he's $400 more than Wilmer Flores.
But he's cheaper on DK.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
he's $300 cheaper on DK.
All right.
So maybe if you play both sides, this is where you split your ownership. You go Wilmer on FanDuel and TJ on DraftKings.
That's a fantastic idea. And look, the Mets have to find a way to get TJ Rivera into lineup because he's one of their hottest hitters right now. 6-for-15 over his last four games. Also has, let's see here, he's got a homer in that span. He's got a homer, 3 doubles, 4 RBIs, 5 runs. I mean, you take a look at his game log there on FanDuel. He's had, double digits, I believe, in 3 of the last 4 or 4 of the last 5. So he is hitting very well. You've got that. I know the Mets have had to play Flores against right-handers, so, you know, his numbers don't look as good lately.
But his numbers versus lefties look really good.
Yes, indeed. Against lefties this season, he's 5-for-13 with 2 homers. Matt Moore's already allowed 5 homers to right-handed bats this season, so, you know, keep that in mind. But we all know Flores against lefties, pretty much as auto as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so let's see here. We've got that with Rivera. Now, I kind of like some of these Cincinnati Reds bats today against Masahiro Tanaka. Masahiro Tanaka against right-handed batters has been a lot worse this season. And when we get to the stack portion, I've got this fantastic statistic that I need to lay on the people, but it has to do with the Cincinnati stack. So in that, you know, in that case, while we're talking about third baseman, Eugenio Suarez would be a pretty good idea here against Tanaka. He is 3,600 there on FanDuel, not exactly the cheapest, but again, I like a lot of these Reds today against Tanaka, whereas I think a lot of people are going to be going towards the Yankees. I feel like they're going to be a pretty chalky stack today. And how many times have we seen it, Keith, where it's not necessarily the obvious stack that goes off, it's the team going against the obvious stack? And it's been the Reds like a million times this year as well.
Yeah, it really has, and I haven't capitalized on it as much as I probably should have, and you know, I've kind of suffered for it, and I might be coming to it too late, but I think it's going to be a good one. So
we still got room on the bandwagon for one more tonight. Now, we were talking about the Nationals a little while ago and right-handers doing well against Kevin Gausman, Anthony Rendon. I got a little upset at people during the week when people said, oh, yeah, he's on a hot streak. No, he had, like, one of the most magnificent games in Major League history. He was not on a hot streak. However, he did go to Citizens Bank Park over the weekend and have some pretty good games. So, you know, if the Nationals are going to be getting on base a lot against Kevin Gausman tonight, which I certainly foresee, then Anthony Rendon is in a good part of that order to drive a lot of guys in, so I don't mind him against Gausman. And then sneaky tonight, you know, you were talking about a lot of people possibly being on Trevor Cahill tonight. Well, I think a lot of people are going to be on Carnes, you know, especially going up against Tampa and the start that he had last time out. So Evan Longoria there at third base wouldn't be a bad idea against Carnes. Completely gut call right there. No rhyme or reason for that one, but I think that you know, a couple of these Rays bats are a great idea tonight going up against Carnes, and especially with Longo in the middle of it, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that a little bit. I kind of like, you know, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Donaldson against Trevor Bauer is always a good one.
Is he officially in?
I've got him in the projected lineup. I've got him and Tulo both in the projected lineup, and I'll I will be having plenty of Eugenio. Obviously, you know, we're not going to talk about Nolan and Chris Bryant because they both are in play. But right. Eugenio Suarez, like you said, against Masahiro Tanaka. Jose Reyes, or against Matt Moore, is he's got a 222 ISO versus left-handed pitching so far this season. That's out of the realm. That's not – but nobody's playing Jose Reyes because he's Jose Reyes. Jose Ramirez, Josh Harrison, both good options. And the second best third baseman in baseball right now, Manny Machado.
Mikel Franco? Oh, okay.
Mikel Franco's not on the slate, dude.
But you said second best third baseman.
He's got a lot to be desired on the defensive end.
Gosh, how dare you speak ill of the non-players?
I'm not speaking ill. I'm saying compared to Nolan and Manny, he's got a lot to be desired. Those are the two best.
How could you think that about my friend?
How many gold gloves has Mikel Franco won?
It's early, okay, bro? Why you got to bring up old shit, all right?
Let me just throw this out there. Nolan's won the last four at the third base position.
No. All right, we're done talking about third baseman. Let's talk about the guys to the left of those third basemen. They're called shortstops. We can pick on righties all day with Kevin Gausman. Trey Turner, he's a much better hitter against right-handed pitching somehow, some way, but that is the case. He gets the massive park upgrade in Camden Yards today. I like him as the top guy, but if we're going to go around the horn again, more right-handers against Tanaka. Zach Cozart's not a bad idea. He donged yesterday. And Aldemus Diaz has actually been one of the hotter hitters in baseball right now. Too bad all of them are pretty much singles. It's not totally true, but he is 12 for his last 28, two doubles with a homer, six RBIs over his last six games. So just to recap real quick, I got Turner, Diaz, and Cozart there.
I like Cozart. And I like, you know, Diaz, and I don't know what's going on with Trey Turner, but he'll
come back.
Yeah, I know. Francisco Lindor against Stroman, Corey Seager are my top two.
Okay.
And then part of the Ranger stack, I really do like Elvis Andrews as well. I think he is a very, very, very good option, you know, to be included in that Ranger stack.
Very, very affordable, and they've been switching him between the 2, 3, and 4 hole lately. So
yep. And don't forget the hottest hitter, one of the hottest shortstops in baseball, Tim Beckman.
Okay, that is true.
Probably will. He's kind of, even against left-hander or right-handers, he's taken over that leadoff spot, and they've moved Corey Dickerson down to more of a power role, which is good, where he can drive in some runs. You know, normally we talk about Corey Dickerson in that leadoff spot against right-handed pitching, but Tim Beckman has been so damn hot that they've just had to get him in.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. Any other shortstops there?
I mean, obviously, Didi Gregorius is in a good spot. He hasn't been hitting the ball well since he's come off the DL, but, you know, this is a guy that's not going to have he's not going to have a 210 wOBA versus, you know, right-handed pitching for the rest of the season, so I don't mind jumping on him if you want to jump on a lower price. He's kind of priced up for what he's been doing, but I think he's going to be a little bit contrarian today.
All right. Didi, again, remember he went 0 for 8 last night, so Redemption trying to be his middle name. We'll see if all that happens. Brad Miller's the guy, too. I know we didn't talk about, again, if we're going to stack Rays against Nathan Carnes. That could be a decent idea, but again, I only like it in a stack. I'm going to try to do everything in my power to get up to Trey Turner. So if you can tell, I like Nationals today.
I think you do.
All right. Let's talk about the outfielders, and then we'll get to some stacks before we get out of here for the day. I don't know how Aaron Judge wouldn't be the number one outfielder today, going up against rookie Davis in the Great American Ballpark. He almost hit another one last night, just missed it. Warning track power for Judge. Again, even if he wasn't hitting homers, he was still getting on base last over the weekend there at Wrigley Field, even with the wins, in favor of the pitchers there. But I like him, number one overall.
Because there's a guy like Bryce Harper on the slate.
Yeah, he's there too.
There's also a game in Coors Field. I mean, I don't mind the Aaron. I don't mind Aaron Judge. I really don't. He is obviously one of the premier power hitters in the game. He reminds me a lot of when the artist formerly known as Mike Stanton came up with the Marlins.
Oh yeah, so many comparisons.
Yeah,
you know that the two of them have combined to have the top three exit velocity.
I thought it was top six.
Might have even been.
I know they have, like, Aaron Judge has six home runs over 425 feet so far this season. I saw that stat over the weekend as well. It might be more now, but I saw that stat over the weekend. How can you can't, you know, you can't forget guys like Cody Bellinger, who's been absolutely mashing the ball.
Oh, I didn't forget. I just didn't get there yet.
Chris Davis is a really good play as well. Chris Davis with a K.
I like his A's brother, Rajay, even as well tonight.
Yep,
absolutely. I believe a lot of these A's have really good BVP against Ricky Nolasco, so we'll talk about them at that aspect in a little bit.
Yeah. Jock Jam should be back in the lineup today. Jock Peterson against Girardi. Trevor Williams should be a good one there. There's a lot of good spots and a lot of good people in good spots as far as the outfield position. Like I said, I'll stack against Trevor Cahill on one or two teams, but I'm not playing the Rangers as one-offs. I'll have both sides of that game. I'll have a couple Cahill shares, not because I like him, but because of the fact of the way he's been pitching. And I'll have a couple couple Ranger stacks as well. So
You don't like Trevor Cahill. Let's get that double confirmed.
Yes, I do not like Trevor Cahill. He is Trevor freaking Cahill.
All right.
And I will stack against Trevor freaking Cahill every time he's on the mound.
All right. Couple ones that we didn't touch on that I also find interesting. Tommy Pham had himself quite the weekend after getting called up on Friday. Let me pull it up here. Over the weekend, he went 6-for-12 with three homers, including two yesterday, five RBIs. That was all in three games over the weekend. So and he's minimum price on FanDuel. So going up against lefty Adam Conley tonight. But one thing I will note that Dexter Fowler might return to the Cardinals lineup tonight. So Pham might be the odd man out, but the way he's throwing the bat over the weekend, it would behoove them to find a spot for him. Adam Duvall, again, we're going to talk about a red stack here in a little bit, but again, he's a righty going up against Tanaka. I like that. And a guy that nobody will put you on, Corey Spangenberg. Again, I love this guy. He's just, you know, again, if you need a cheap outfielder or just anybody, you know, when you're paying up for pitching, he's a great guy that always gets on base and, you know, always finds a way to cross home plate as well. So those are a couple guys. You mentioned Cody Bellinger, who I've also got on my list. I like him a lot. The two Davises from the A's, which we'll talk about in a little bit here too, going up against Nolasco and the Angels. So yeah, all those guys are certainly going to be in play for me tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind that, I guess. I'm looking at a guy like Michael Conforto, even though it's left on left. He's got a 333 ISO versus left-handed pitching this year. Tommy Pham, he doesn't register as a DFSA grade, but I'm willing to still buy on Carlos Gonzalez too. I know that I said I wasn't going to say anybody about Coors Field, but the guy's been so cold.
Ice cold, cold-blooded.
But he's, like, his worst month is by far April. And I know we're, you know, May 8th, but he's going to start getting out of it. So,
he still needs a week, another week to catch up with the rest of the flock. I tried to make a bird analogy there, but it didn't go so well, apparently.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Billy Hamilton has been absolutely freaking on fire.
He has been.
So a red stack against Masahiro Tanaka is pretty good. So
indeed. All right, let's talk about some of these stacks. I can't contain myself any longer. I got to give you this note here about the Cincinnati Reds and why you should stack their 2-4-6 hitters tonight. It's a little wacky. It's a little
out there, but we got to bring it up. So you mentioned Billy Hamilton. He is not part of this stack that I am going to propose to the people tonight. So take a look at this. Against Tanaka this season, this is bizarre. 2-4-6 hitters have a combined .404 batting average against him this season, and the 1-3-5 hitters have a combined .170 average against Tanaka this season. Now, all that's fine and dandy, but you got to look at the right-handers this season against Tanaka. They're hitting .306, 10 doubles, 3 homers, 6 walks and all that, so still getting on base. You know, when we look at that 2-4-6 spot of the Reds order, that's typically where you're going to get – Cozart, maybe even a Peraza there at two, but, you know, they've been going with Cozart lately. So typically in that 2-4-6, it's going to be Cozart, Duvall, and probably, Suarez would probably be there in six hole. So if you believe in stats and you like all those numbers, I don't know if I could put it in a big enough font for you, but those are fantastic right there. And then also keep in mind with Billy Hamilton and the rest of this Reds team, 36 stolen bases for the Reds this season. That is tied for most in the majors, and 159 runs this season gives them the third most in the majors.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you start looking at some of these numbers. I don't pay attention to the batting average against as far as lineup position spots. What I generally do is look at first time, second time, third time through the lineup, as far as, you know, pitchers and what they are allowing. And Masahiro Tanaka gets infinitely bad the deeper he goes into games. And most pitchers do get worse, because the more you see a pitcher in a game, the advantage starts to go to the hitter, which is one of the reasons why you see bullpens being specialized towards late game situations and stuff like that. But it's not something that is generally looked at. One of the things I do look at a lot is bullpen usage. And one of the reasons why I like the Reds so much this tonight is the fact that, you know, we've talked about it a couple times so far, is the Yankees and Cubs absolutely just they pitched a lot through their bullpen, and they don't have the benefit of the off day. To give you an example, the only two pitchers that didn't pitch yesterday for the Cubs were Felix Pena and Hector Rondon. Look, whether Jake Arrieta gets hit tonight or not, he's going to have to wear it. They're going to ask him to pitch deeper into this game because of it. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pitchers who threw more than 30 pitches yesterday. Now Pena didn't throw yesterday because he threw 50 pitches the day before. Rondon didn't throw yesterday because he threw 40 pitches on Friday. So you've got that there, and then you've got the Yankees, who the only guy that didn't throw yesterday in the Yankees bullpen was Tommy Lane. I mean, you've got Shrevey, who threw 44, Warren, who threw 29, Holder threw 33, Clipper, 17, Chapman, 36, Betances, 19. So these two bullpens are really, really kind of beat up, and you don't have to worry about it. You go, just go to their opponents. Yesterday, the Reds, they didn't have anybody throw any pitches in their bullpen. You know, in fact, the Reds the last 2 days, the only person that's, the Reds probably have the best bullpen that's probably rested in the major leagues right now. So, and then followed by the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies literally 13 by Ottavino, 9 by Holland, and 5 by Mike Dunn. And those three pitchers didn't pitch on Saturday. Chris Russell threw 33, and got the 3-inning save. The Rockies bullpen is one of the best as far as neutral to positive game situations late in the bullpen. The back end of the bullpen is pretty good, but a lot of these other teams are, their bullpens are just absolutely decimated right now.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, they didn't these are two teams that I really like targeting against because their bullpens are backed up against two. So I would think that, you know, they would have to go a little bit deeper into the games than normal.
All right. Now, I brought up the fact there that I do like the Red stack. Of course, Yankees stack, not a bad idea either. Yes, they played late last night, but they are facing rookie Davis, and they did not have to travel nearly into as bad conditions there as the Cubs did last night, so I do like that. Of course, the Washington Nationals. I mean, I was talking about that earlier. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Wieters, all in play. And even Anthony Rendon, I just can't fit it on one line. But, yeah, he's in play as well. That's what I like. And then two under-the-radar stacks. I'm gonna do a little bit of rhyming here where I go with the Rays and the A's. You know, we talked about this a little bit throughout the podcast, but like maybe a Beckham, Dickerson, Longoria, Miller stack would be good. I don't even Logan Morris in there for the Rays, who I failed to mention, who is a member of Walsh's Wingmen, and then also with the A's too, going up against Ricky Nolasco. The BVP numbers against Ricky Nolasco for a lot of these A's are just very good. Yonder Alonso, Chris Davis, Matt Joyce, Ryan Healy, who hit the walk-off yesterday, Stephen Vogt, Jed Lowry, all with very good numbers there against Nolasco, so keep them in mind.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I do kind of like... Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, why? I kind of do like the Giants stack today a little bit.
Ew!
I think a lot of people...
Scott Feldman yesterday.
I know, but you're sitting there looking at it. It's just guys like Buster Posey, Brendan Belt, Joe Panic, Christian Arroyo. They're all cheaper. It's a cheap stack you can put in with Coors. It's oh my gosh,
gross! Gross is what it is.
Yeah, but it's not pretty. I will give you that, and it's not. But we've seen it this year so far. Who's going to be the chalk stack of the day, or who's going to be one of the chalkiest pitchers of the day? It's going to be Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah,
you know, and with the way that the season is gone, yeah, Jacob DeGrom can go out and throw a great game. I mean, I've got a projected lineup of WOBA of 262 versus right-handed pitching this season so far. But isn't this is just one of those places where this game could just absolutely just blow up, because both of these pitchers, I mean, yeah, DeGrom's looked better this year than he did the latter part of last year, but both of these pitchers have the ability to go out and get blown up, and the Giants don't strike out a ton, but hey.
I will say the one thing for DeGrom, though, and something that he really hasn't had the benefit of is pitching at home, which is something he's been amazing. He's got a career ERA under 2 at Citi Field, so you got to keep that in mind. And then, you know, he's only pitched there twice this season. His first one against the Braves went pretty well. He goes 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, no earned runs. His only other start at Citi Field, though, this season was against the red-hot Washington Nationals, so I'm going to take a little bit of, you know, a little grain of salt with that. The Mets have actually been playing pretty well, minus yesterday of late. So, you know, I think DeGrom gets it done. I like way too many bats to try and afford them tonight. So that's going to be the tough part. All right. Any other stacks here before we get out of here for the day?
Obviously the Rockies are in play. I'm not going to stack I'm not going to stack Cubs, not with what's going on with them. But the Rockies are in play. You know, Jake Arrieta has relied a ton on his sinker, and that's, as we said, one of the most ineffective pitches that you can throw in Coors Field. Being the fact that he got in late, he pinch hit last night, so we know he was at the game in Wrigley. You know, I'm probably going to probably going to have a very high share of stacks because it's probably going to be low owned with the projected weather as well. So, and then obviously I've talked about the Rangers, but the Dodgers. I really, really, really am liking the Dodgers stock tonight. You talk about a team that just absolutely crushes right-handed pitching. Corey Seager, Yasmani Grandal, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Yasiel Puig, Andrew Tolles, Justin Turner. I mean, the top seven in this lineup for me, for the Dodgers, are in play. And I don't care if they're in Chavez Ravine or not. So
that's all right. Hey, we've actually seen a lot of runs put up here on the West Coast, especially Oakland, it seems like, and Anaheim. Those two places have had a lot of runs here, so not bad. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Again, if you're not joined up with us yet and you like what you heard, make sure you join us, dfsarmy.com, promo code podcast. You can choose whether you'd like the monthly or the yearly subscription there on the site. And, again, if you want to follow me and Keith on Twitter, follow me at 14a.walsh, Keith at boomersdfsdaddy. Get all your questions answered up over there. And that'll do it for this Monday. Tomorrow we'll be back, me, Keith, and Chapadong, the three-prong edition of the MLB Daily Dispatch. So looking forward to that. As always, we go. Peace.
Peace out.